Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Monday. Welcome back. Good to have you here tonight. We just heard that Fox News update that they could swear Amy Coney Barrett in this evening. With a vote is supposed to take place this evening. We're going to be following it here on 97.1 and look forward to hopefully a confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett tonight. Chad joins us every Monday in studio. Chad's with us again here. Hi, Chad. How are you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing fine. We talked with Dr. Scott Hardiman at the beginning of the show, as we always do, regarding coronavirus. And, you know, it's funny to ask a medical professional coronavirus questions and to repeat things that a politician says and then to hear the medical advice on it, because there's a direct approach that a medical professional can take on something like that. And then when you're listening to what the politicians say about whatever a medical professional will say, they just drastically take it in whatever direction that they prefer it to go in. What's your assessment, especially a week out of this election, about where this pandemic is going to fit in people's decisions to vote for one candidate or another?
Well, I would hope that the fact that we have coronavirus doesn't affect someone's voting choices. First and foremost, then I would also say that, quite honestly, if we're being honest about coronavirus, we see that the deaths have really like slowed down, and we're kind of like getting a grasp on what we should do as Americans, as well as just citizens of the world that are dealing with this pandemic, because it is worldwide. And just learning how to live with it and not try to like run from it or act like this is something that we're going to be able to get rid of overnight. Or if we decide to pick a certain president, a candidate, that it'll just go away.
Joe Biden said in the debate that we are headed towards a dark winter. I mean, that's pretty ominous. I don't know that, like, if we're headed towards this dark winter, I don't necessarily know that. Is Joe Biden going to be the guy who's going to keep us from that dark winter? I wasn't 100% sure what he was trying to say or illustrate by such a dark and ominous prediction as to where we are headed with this virus.
Yeah, honestly, it's going to be I don't know how bright the winter should be. It's, it's when the sun is the farthest away from the earth, so it should be darker. No, but honestly, when it comes to it, like, if we're going to be throwing the flu virus, throwing that out the window and just calling everything coronavirus, then of course it's going to be dark. Of course, the numbers are going to be skyrocketing and things like that. Like, I've had I've had clients at the station like, oh, you got the sniffles. I'm like, it's freezing in this building. Of course I have the sniffles. It's not coronavirus. So it's like.
Do you think people are going to vote? Do you think people at this point in time are more or less scared? Especially in the circles you run in. I always go to Katie to talk to the young people. I can talk to your young people as well. But does COVID produce fear in people? Because when I look at the difference between what Donald Trump has to offer and what Joe Biden has to offer, Joe Biden says if you elect him, he'll solve all your problems. And Donald Trump seems to allude to, as a what I would consider a proper conservative, the idea that you're going to elect somebody into government to have all your problems solved. Like, you're the solution to the problem. It's the big government is what gets in the way. But I keep hearing from Joe Biden that he's going to be the solution to everything. And if you choose to vote against him, then that's kind of, you know, it's going to be on you.
Yeah. Once I became an adult, I didn't want to be parented so strictly anymore. So that's what I'll say to that. Just the fact that, like, other places like Chicago, they got hit with another lockdown where they got more curfews and things like that. And we've seen what happened in the county. You got to give people the room to make their own decisions, quite honestly. The people around me, they're trying to get back to their regular lives. I've got people on LinkedIn saying, like, you know, how they were affected with the jobs, how their income and stuff was affected, and how they're ready to get back to the regular scheduled program with coronavirus or without it. So therefore, it's like, okay, we don't want to be locked in a house. We don't want to be told what we can and can't do. Like, we would like to be America, where we're free. You know, like, that's what I want. I want the freedoms, as much as I can get them. I don't want to be mandated to do certain things just because, oh, it's going to help this group of people and this group of people. Unfortunately, we have to think about the holistic side of it. It's like, okay, what will actually help America, not just what will help Joe Biden, because I don't think we can really help him too much.
Chad, let me ask you a question. I can't find any definitive data on this, and it may be worthless to even try because we'll know in a week anyway. But just in your opinion, do you think that there are more people who are going to cross over from the Democrat side to vote Republican because of what they've seen Democrats doing to the economy, or vice versa? Republicans don't like what Republicans have done to try to keep the country open. They want to be safer, and they're going to cross over and vote Democrat.
Quite honestly, I think I would go with the first one. I think we got a lot of, like, closet Republicans and people that are like, I'm not going to tell people who I'm voting for because I don't want to be reamed for it. Or they don't want to be canceled and things like that. So there are going to be a lot of people, like, going over to the other side and not really talking about it. Because they realize if I don't, if I vote democratically, like I've normally done, I'm not going to have those same type of freedoms. I'm not going to be able to do anything that I called normal 8 months ago.
Chad, do you have conversations about voting and who you're going to vote for, whoever? Do you have those conversations with people a lot?
I don't anymore. Because it's become redundant. I'm tired of hearing the rhetoric of anybody but Trump. And when I bring up the facts and the topics at hand that we hear about these debates, or we go on Biden's website, he's back and forth on what he actually believes in and what he stands for, and then says, this ain't the Democratic Party, this is the Biden Party, and things like that. So I kind of refrain from it because ignorance is bliss.
if you say, I don't want to assume that you're voting for Trump. Are you voting? Do you intend to vote for Trump?
I do. You could just put it out there. I don't care about being canceled. I've been canceled before. I'll get new friends if I have to.
So if you're voting for Trump and that's the weight that you have to consider when you put that out there, you know, I'm just curious how many other individuals like you might be out there who have paid attention to what people are saying and notice, especially with the the black vote this time around. I think the president got 8% in 2016, and it wouldn't take that to move very much in order to have a drastic impact, that percentage to move up just a tad bit to have a drastic outcome for, you know, benefiting Donald Trump. I'm wondering, what are the things that people say to you, Chad? If you, like, what does it mean to them to hear you say you're voting for Trump? What do they think they know about you now? Because I would assume that they're not calling you racist, which is what they would call.
They don't call me racist, but I support a racist. How could I vote for him? And they bring up the newspaper article that he posted about the five black guys. And it's just like, I'm not voting for Donald Trump to change my world. I'm not voting for that. I'm voting for, first of all, I'm voting Republican because that's where I lie, because of that. When I looked up Democratic Party, Republican Party, I seen what they had to stand for, and I was like, yeah,
was any issue in particular like, wow, okay, this is where I'm going?
It was honestly with, like, the control. Like, I don't want to be controlled and told how I have to move. Like, and when, like I always go back to this, the interview that when my very first interview on air, when I was interviewing someone that was like, oh yeah, we have the union and this, that, and the third. I was like, nah, I don't want to be a part of no union, paying union dues that don't really support me. And I was like, okay, the union was created for this, and this is where it is now. And you don't have the union votes on certain political views that you don't believe in, or if you got Christian beliefs and you're still voting democratically, how could you? When it's like there are no morals. Like when I look up and see, like, okay, I believe in this, I believe in that, I believe that this shouldn't happen, I believe that a fetus is still a baby no matter what. I believe people should be held accountable for all of their actions. And the Democratic Party is just like, yeah, if you want to live wild and free, just join us. It's like,
So speaking about, like, the things that you, whenever you looked at that list between Republicans and Democrat, I think after this pandemic, something that we can add to both these lists are, like, there's a party that's of hope and moving forward and trying to be better. And then there's a party that's like, let's stay where we are. Let's use fear. Let's make everyone. Yeah. Let's make everyone scared. Let's lock the economy up. Shut your doors. And hopefully this will go away. I think the first is the Republican Party, in my opinion, and the latter is the Democratic Party. And in a lot of conversations I have with my friends, I talk about something that we say on air, which is like, if you eliminate the name Biden, if you eliminate the name Trump, and you just look at these factors that these parties are representing, do you really want to be stuck in the party that's doubtful that we can make it out of this, that's scared to make it out of something like this? Or do you want to go with someone that's like, hey, we're America. We can do this. We are better than ever before, and we can continue to be better. Do you have those conversations, or do people highlight any of that stuff in your circles that you run through, or even with adults that you speak about?
They hide from those facts. They hide from the facts that, okay, we have to move forward. Like, as a forward moving individual, I have to think, okay, if I got a small business and they're ripping down all these laws on me, just weighing me down with laws after law after law, and they're not even laws, they're just restrictions. I can't do this, I can't have an event, I can't do this, I can't do that. And then you're going to throw on, yeah, we're going to tax anybody that's making $400,000. And, like, if you're thinking of small businesses, that's probably what they make per year. That's not a lot of money. Like, let's be honest, $400,000 is not a lot of money. So when you're talking about small businesses that are going to be affected, that's not going to help. Like, when I look at the Democratic Party, they don't want you to have a small business, clearly. They just want you to work your regular 9-to-5 and continue to work and slave for 40 more years, 40 years of workforce, and then, like, I know how it feels to work a 9-to-5. It sucks. So if I'm like, okay, I got my side hustle, I got this, I got that, and then wham, You can't do one of your side hustles because you can't have social gatherings.
Yeah.
Wham. You can't do this side hustle because it's over. Yeah, the restrictions. You got to be in the house at 10 o'clock and things like that. And then I have, like, I'm creating content for these companies that are like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do because of all these restrictions that we have, like, Can I do delivery services anymore? And I'm like, yeah, you can do delivery service. They have curbside delivery services for all these other companies. Why can't you implement that? So I'm thinking innovatively throughout the pandemic because I have to. And I'm being told on one side, continue to be innovative, continue to figure these things out as we figure them out. And then on the other side, it's like, no. Let's just reel it back. Let's bring it all home, and we'll figure it out next year or the year after. Like we can't wait. We can't wait. There's no time to wait.
We don't have the luxury of that. When people are working hard to provide for themselves, and someone says, "Nope, that's going to have to stop for right now," we really have to consider what we're taking away from people. Let's take a quick break. More with Chad Ellis when we come back. He's a producer friend, a colleague of ours, and he joins us every Monday for a discussion. If you got a question you would like to ask Chad, go ahead and put it in the comments. You can go to the Annie Fry YouTube page and comment there. You can go to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page and comment there. Let us know what you got on your mind, and maybe we'll put it into the discussion. We'll be back in just a minute with more with Chad in just a minute.
Right down!
And is that a socialist or progressive perspective?
No, it is the perspective of a woman who grew up a black child in America, who was also a prosecutor, who also has a mother who arrived here at the age of 19 from India, who also, you know, likes hip hop. Like, what do you want to know?
I don't understand the cackling. It's quite frightening to me. Listen to the rest of this, Kamala. Like, I don't really...
Well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator. You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for All. You've supported legalizing marijuana. Joe Biden doesn't support those things. So are you going to bring the policies, those progressive policies that you supported as senator, into a Biden administration?
What I will do, and I promise you this, and this is what Joe wants me to do, this was part of our deal. I will always share with him my lived experience as it relates to any issue that we confront. And I promised Joe that I will give him that perspective.
The far left, radical left perspective? Oh, that's good. That's why Kamala's there? I don't know, Chad. How's that hit you? I know you're a big Kamala fan.
I'm not.
Not happening.
Yeah, she, every time I hear her, she just makes me like, yeah, no, it's a no for me. She's not a hip hop fan. She's not, like, let's be honest. Like, they asked her on the Breakfast Club what her hip hop favorites were when she was in college. She started naming stuff that wasn't even around. She's just making stuff up.
I honestly bet Trump knows more about hip hop. Especially considering that he had been in how many rappers' music videos and they hung out with him and partied with him.
I'm so glad you said that. That is my point to so many black people. Like, before Trump became a Republican, every black person talked about Donald Trump. Everybody wanted to be in the financial liking of Donald Trump. And everybody watched The Apprentice. Let's be honest.
Everybody knows you're fired.
Exactly. It's so funny how, he's a Republican now that we have to hate him now. It's like, come on, man. Can we think for ourselves? Can we have our own thoughts and not be like caught up in the fact that we all have to think alike. We all have to be alike. Like, this is not the everybody wear gray and we're in a black and white film. This is not that. We all have our own opinions. We all have our own beliefs. And we are free to do so as an American.
Encouraged to do so. Katie's got a fun story. She sent this to me earlier, and it kind of teed her off quite a bit.
It's so wild.
Speaking of elitism, go ahead.
So Chris Cuomo was out and about this weekend, hanging out at a downtown private members club because, you know, he's just like one of us. hanging out, shaking hands with people, smiling, laughing, sitting next to other people without a mask on.
Yeah. So, wear a damn mask. That's what he repeats all the time. Wear a mask, wear a dang mask. He says that over and over and over again.
So a source close to a source that was at this private club told Page Six, which if you guys don't know what Page Six is, it's a gossip column. It's about pop culture, what celebrities up to.
I think it's Page Six in the New York Post, technically.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense.
But it's Page Six is its own brand.
Yes, yeah. Correct. So this is the source says this. He was not social distancing. He was walking around indoors, shaking hands, greeting people without a mask. He was just hanging out with Brooke.
Was he not preparing for the dark winter?
Right.
Gosh.
Exactly. It's a double standard when his brother, Governor Andrew Cuomo, is attacking the restaurant industry and implementing all of these senseless rules. Why does he get to go out and not apply the rules his brother is telling other people to follow?
Great question.
It's crazy. And so like all these people are reporting on it because every single night he goes on is advocating for wearing masks. And if you don't have a mask on, don't go outside. Basically.
And he also, let's go back to when he had COVID and he was in his basement. Remember, like, you remember the tales of Chris Cuomo?
Yes.
Tales from the basement. It's like the tales of the Crypt Keeper. when he's in his basement, and then they did like this whole grand reveal when he left his basement. Oh, except for the fact that he left his house when the cameras weren't rolling to go look, I think it was the East Hamptons where he was building his next house. And he's standing out there with a group of people. He has COVID and he's not wearing a mask and he's yelling at people. And this biker, like, standing there because he was riding his bike past, and Chris Cuomo was like, what are you staring at? And he's like, shouldn't you be wearing a mask? And then Chris Cuomo, like accosts him for daring speak to him. And it's like, this is all out there. You can see all of this with your own eyes. You don't need me to tell you. You don't need Katie to read this Page Six story to show you the blatant hypocrisy that exists with these people who have the privilege of being behind a camera or a microphone and talking to you. And what they choose to do with it is to spew their elitist ideals and tell you how to live your life and tell you that when you're sacrificing, going back to what you were saying before the break, Chad, like they're saying, no, this is what you need to do. And because they say it, you're supposed to just know that it's real and accurate. And in the meantime, you're like, well, how the heck am I supposed to provide for myself? And honestly, the answer from the Democrats is you're not supposed to provide for yourself. We'd like the government to provide for you in the end. We would like you to come to us for what you need, and what you need, we will determine. I mean, it's a scary thought, but it's happening. Chad, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want the government assistance handouts because it's always restrictions, as you guys know, and I've always talked about how you have to fall in line to get any of the things that are supposed to be given to you. And no, I'm good. I'm good on that. And we hear it all the time. Like these celebrities talking, they're clearly talking points because they clearly aren't thinking or aren't like viewing the real picture of how is this possible? How can I sustain a lifestyle that's more than the let's go back to unemployment prices and $600 extra and all this. Like, come on now. If I got rent that's $1,000, how can I afford to allow the government to tell me they got me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I got myself. Let me get myself and you get yourself and
get out of my way.
Exactly.
Let me ask you about 50 Cent. So 50 Cent said last week, famously, he like screenshot a picture of Joe Biden's tax plan. He said 62% vote for Trump. And then he later followed up with like every boomer's favorite joke. I don't want to be 20 Cent. I've heard that repeated so many times. But now apparently he's come back on and there's been a message that he has delivered was F Donald Trump. And in the meantime here, did you happen to hear, Chad, what Chelsea Handler said about 50 Cent over the weekend?
No, what is
okay,
she say?
Well, brace yourself. Because there seems to have been a change in 50 Cent's voicing here of who he's going to support. Listen to what Chelsea Handler said that she had to do to 50 Cent to get him
back.
He says
he doesn't want to pay 62% of taxes, which, by the way, isn't a plan of Joe Biden's. That's a lie. So he doesn't want to pay 62% of taxes because he doesn't want to go from being 50 Cent to 20 Cent. And I had to remind him that he was a black person.
Oh.
So he can't vote for Donald Trump, and that he shouldn't be influencing an entire swath of people who may listen to him because he's worried about his own personal pocketbook.
I'm sorry, what? Now, I'm a white woman, and Chelsea Handler is a white woman as well, and I just want to say that the fact that we are both white women does not mean we have anything to do with one another whatsoever, because she just said she had to remind 50 Cent that he was black. Who says that out loud and gets away with it? Can you imagine if Donald Trump said something along those lines in a microphone? Then they'd actually have a reason to say that he was being racist, because it's racist! Chad, what do you think? Oh, my gosh.
I'm not surprised. You already have the presidential candidate, Vice President Biden, saying you ain't black if you ain't voting for me. So, of course, that's what they got to run on. And unfortunately, 50 Cent felt peer pressure to go against what he actually believes in, which, because if we take away the skin color, the financial is what matters. I don't care how much money I'm making or ain't making, I don't want to be told like I'm gonna have to pay a certain amount of taxes because I make a certain amount of money. And just like I've said on continuous times, all of these celebrities that are saying vote for Biden are the ones that are gonna be taxed.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna get taxed. Like, let me tell you, like I might not get my raise because of the company that I'm working for is going to be taxed. And who do you think that's going to fall on? That's going to fall on the people that's working for the company. They're not paying a tax increase. There's just going to be job cuts, and there are going to be no raise for you.
Well, so, listening to Chelsea Handler say out loud for everybody to hear in a microphone, I had to remind 50 Cent that he was black, reminded me of Bill Burr here.
The way white women somehow hijack the woke movement, generals around the world should be analyzing this. Just to refresh your memory, the woke movement was supposed to be about people of color not getting opportunities, the at-bats that they deserve, finally making that happen. And it was about that for about 8 seconds. And then somehow, white women swung their Gucci-booted feet over the fence of oppression and stuck themselves at the front of the line. I don't know how they did it. I've never heard so much complaining in my life from white women. My anger to her, with my SUV and my heated seats. You have no idea what it's like to be me.
That's Bill Barr two Saturdays ago on SNL. And then this past weekend, we have Chelsea Handler telling 50 Cent, I had to remind him he was black and he can't vote for Trump. I just, Chad, I don't get to apologize. I don't get to speak on behalf of white women, and you don't speak on behalf of black men. But what? I am so ashamed of her for saying that out loud. And I am shockingly not shocked that in the midst of this, it's not really that big of a story. If there was a conservative commentator who was out there, if Sean Hannity or Laura Ingraham or Tucker Carlson said that in the sincerity that Chelsea Handler said that, it would be front page news.
Absolutely.
And it's not. Oh my gosh, it drives me crazy. All right, we gonna have you back here one more week before the election next Monday?
Absolutely,
around?
I'm here.
All right, well, we'll see how it goes. We're watching a lot of the different, there are a lot of different polls out there. There are a lot that are changing drastically. I would say that on the whole, it seems as though President Trump seems to be gaining some momentum. A lot of people will say, well, is it enough in time? Well, I don't know. Was the actual bar the foundation of what we're judging all of this on? Was that right to begin with? The truth is, none of us know. But we will know soon. And I'm really hoping for a definitive answer on next Tuesday. We'll discuss if we think that's going to be the case when we come back. Don't go anywhere. More Annie Fry Show in just a minute. So let your heart. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I am just about fed up with local media Facebook posts and statuses and the way that they cherry pick stories and present them. It's just, I've got to contain myself. I've got to keep it together and not do anything I'm going to regret. It's just frustrating to see, like, when you read news headlines, if you know where that news is coming from, if you read a news headline from CNN and it's about the same story that you're going to read on Fox News, you can read a CNN headline identify the slant, but still be able to get the piece of information out of that that's in fact news. The smaller the publication, or maybe the more local it is, the more frustrating it is to find out. Like I will go to local news if President Trump has a rally in, what was he, in Allentown, Pennsylvania today. I think that's where it was that I was looking at. I am interested in how the local news reports that story. Crowd size and energy level. And you can go straight to the source and find that article on a news website, and it's, you know, it gives the report and it says report, but you can also go to that outlet's Facebook page, and it just seems to me like the people who are writing the statuses for these local news outlets have an agenda. And I have a feeling it's because it's not being checked. Like, it's not being watched in a way that how you put a status up on a story matters. And especially if you're a local, like if I'm going to look at the Allentown, Pennsylvania ABC affiliate, I'm just picking one out of the blue. I don't know. I haven't looked at that one specifically. But you should get news from that. Like, that's the one place that I think you should be able to trust the most. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the news is trustworthy at a local level. But the social media part is where I feel like there is this generational gap that exists in the workplace right now. Young people understand social media. More experienced people don't understand it as much or don't want to bother with it. So there's almost this divide in how it's looked at. Like, it's just something that's being taken care of and moved on. Like, Katie, I know that you've noticed from time to time the way, especially in the speak that is used.
Oh my gosh. It is the most annoying thing. And I've said this before. I was your intern for 6 months. I could not imagine you allowing me to post whenever you're the guru in digital media. I could not imagine you saying, well, here's all of the passwords and the background for our website and for our Facebook page. Why don't you go ahead and take the initiative and post whatever you would like to post as an intern? And that's what I feel like is happening a lot. No one is checking this. No one is saying, looking for the accuracy, which is exactly what we were taught in Journalism 101.
Yeah, it irks me because the slant is so prevalent everywhere we look right now that it's hard to pick it out. I think if you haven't been around long enough in the industry, you have to learn the voice. You have to learn how to speak as a news person and not as an opinionator. There's a place for opinion. I just don't feel like the local news is where it's at. I want to play this clip here from Sarah Silverman. She tweeted this out this weekend, and I agree with the majority of what she says here. Granted, I can tell that she's really talking against my side of the aisle, but the point in and of itself, I actually agree with. Listen to Sarah Silverman here. She's talking about cancel culture.
In this cancel culture, and we all know what I'm talking about, whether you think there is one or there isn't one or where you stand on it, and there's a lot of gray matter there. But without a path to redemption, when you take someone, you found a tweet they wrote 7 years ago or a thing that they said, and you expose it and you say, this person should be no more, banish them forever. They're going to find some place where they are accepted. And it's not going to be with progressives, which ironically means to be changed, progress. If we don't give these people a path to redemption, then they're going to go where they are accepted, which is the dark side. I think there should be some kind of path. Do we want people to be changed, or do we want them to stay the same, to freeze in a moment we found on the internet from 12 years ago? And so we can point to ourselves as right and them as wrong. It's righteousness porn.
It's righteousness porn. You know, when you listen to Sarah Silverman, and she's a comedian, so I think that the comedians see this more clearly than maybe other people in Hollywood, because comedians they're supposed to push the envelope. They're supposed to say things that other people are maybe too afraid to say, or make observations that other people haven't taken the time to make. And usually the reason why a lot of what they say is funny is because there's a huge semblance of truth to it. It's funny to me that she, while she is saying that we have to steer ourselves away from cancel culture. The beginning part of her post here, because it's on a podcast. She's on a podcast when she's talking about this. Is she's talking about a friend who at 14 found a place in a hate group of some kind. And that hate group resembled acceptance and love and affection for that 14-year-old who needed that acceptance and love and affection at that time, but has since spent the rest of their life trying to get people out of hate groups. So her point being, like, if you were to go back and look at something that he did or said while he was in this hate group, you would be discounting the things that they have done since they've been out of it. We can agree on that, can't we? That people are going to change over the course of time. She also is identifying that progressives really do own this cancel culture world that we live in. That progressives are actively invested in the cancel button. That they hold the power over the cancel button. And when they determine it's time for you to be over, they will push it. I know that I live on the other side of that cancel button. And in there she says, if progressives don't learn how to give these people a place of love and acceptance, they're going to find it in what she refers to the MFing dark side, which is, I guess, us. So when you hear Sarah Silverman speaking like this, it actually gives me a sense of, I guess, understanding with her that we are so aggressive to push ourselves out there and show the world what we're doing that is right. The virtue signaling, oh my gosh, it's exhaustive what we can virtue signal over this day and age. If you go to, I don't know, Katie, did you watch the John Crist video, the virtue signaling video? That I
didn't watch it. I saw you posted it, but
Ryan,
I didn't get
have you
a
seen
chance.
That video?
I have, yes.
It's so perfect. It's a lesson in virtue signaling. And basically, the entirety of the video is talking about how it's if you're going to properly virtue signal, you need to point out all of the things that you're doing that are excessively right while shaming everybody else for things that they do that are excessively wrong. And that is so it. Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you just like, I have had enough of what you think about what my life entails, what my positions say about me. Like, you are entitled to your opinion, but I'm entitled to my own as well. And you know, that's why I have a very active presence on social media from my show standpoint. But personally, I'm just really not there for it. It's so hateful. And the hate comes, it certainly comes from both sides of the aisle. But the second that I see somebody out there trying to virtue signal to me about how their political vote somehow says something about them that implies that my political vote, my support for Donald Trump, really indicates what kind of person I really am. And it would be really, really good, Annie, if you would understand how wrong you are about this, and if you would just take a moment to listen to me to understand how I can help you get you right. It is the least compassionate thing a person can do. And it's the least genuine and honest thing that a person can do, because the chances are that they know nothing about you. They don't understand why you support who you support. They just know that they have a good feeling in their heart and in their belly. When they say that they hate Donald Trump, that means something about them. Just like you loving Donald Trump means something about you. The chances are, if you're like me, you know that Donald Trump is the best thing for the country moving forward. You know that Joe Biden's not up to the task. You know that Kamala Harris has disastrously horrible policies that, if she had the opportunity to put them in place, would tear this country apart. And the truth is that Donald Trump, you're not asking him to babysit your kids. You're not asking him to walk you down the aisle to give you away. You want him to be the president of the United States. And is he a perfect person? No, but none of us actually are. The virtue signaling, the cancel culture, is there an end in sight to this for our community, for our society? Is this ever going to end? Is there anything that could happen that could end? Because to me, the Barack Obama vote was the biggest virtue signaling of all. Because if you ask the people who expected him to really make a change for them, they were left really disappointed after 8 years. I don't know if the answer is to get off of social media or limit social media or what it is. But if somebody's doing that to you in your life, I highly encourage you to ask yourself how important they are to you. If they're doing it on social media, but you really love the person, just end the social media relationship so you can preserve the real, actual, important relationship that exists in real life. And know that you have your own thoughts and opinions that you've based on your own perspectives. And if they can't value that about you, then maybe that conversation is best not had. It's going to probably get significantly worse in the next week, especially as we continue to see polls and everything coming in that tell you whatever you want to hear and whatever you want to know. If you want to be scared, you can be scared. If you want to be excited, you can be excited. It's all going to come to a head here in about a week, and we're going to be here to cover each and every one of it. Talk to you tomorrow about Justice Amy Coney Barrett, DGS, coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.